good, man. Joey can sing, can't he? I enjoyed that. So good. I like that. All right, guys. I am glad to be back. We're going to continue in this Everyday Hero series, if you got your outlines out. We're going to be talking about everyday heroes in the home. And I've experienced and you've experienced and that everything you have, I mean, life, I've experienced marriage and singleness. And after 28 plus years, we've gone through all different phases and seasons, you know. Now, I don't have grandchildren yet, but I hear they're cool. I'm waiting on those. But, you know, Angie and I, like I said, we've been married 28 plus years. We were married 4 years before we had children. Four awesome years. Wonderful years. You know. But when we had kids, you know, it just, we'll just say conflicts happened more often. You know, but you know, I'm kind of home by myself this weekend. I was thinking about things. Angie's, there was a car headed south to the beach, and Angie got on it. And so I'm sitting there thinking yesterday, if I really look back on these conflicts that we've had, I'm probably responsible for most of them. We don't call them conflicts. That's a word that I wanted to use for y'all. We call them fights at the Pinkard house. But I look, and most of them's my mouth, believe it or not. I can remember some of the fights. I can't remember most of them, which means most of them are probably silly. There's some of them I'd like to put a name to, you know, but, you know, call them something. But I want to tell you something. You know what really makes a healthy home? It's not the absence of the conflicts. It's how the conflicts are handled. I think that's what makes a healthy home. And that's something that I know Angie and I have had to learn. And to be quite frank, we're still learning, how to handle conflicts and fights in these 28 plus years, because now we're in different seasons of our life, and so some things change, but conflicts still happen even after 28 plus years. There's still some hurtful words and disagreements still happen, believe it or not, and I think these things happen regularly in lots of families, and like I say, it's not the absence of conflict, it's how we handle them. And so out of this, my pain and some stuff that I've gone through, I hope my pain makes you feel a little more normal. You might be thinking, man, my pastor is messed up. But believe it or not, sometimes I say things without thinking. I do, you know, and it should have been a really nice, relaxing time we were having, and I'll just blurt out something stupid. Or I might, you know, we just tell it like it is. Well, sometimes that's dumb. Sometimes that's just dumb. I'm not proud of these moments that I cause these, but I'm just trying to, as they say, trying to keep it real today. Amen? It's just us. You ever had them days where you kind of say something that you shouldn't have, and then there's, we'll call them consequences that follow? You know, those moments. Like I say, the reality is conflict is going to happen. It happens to all of us. But the truth is, as I was sitting there thinking this yesterday when I was alone, that most of our conflicts could have been avoided if I would have just applied this first verse that I have on this list to you. And maybe for some of you too, it could help. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I tell you what, let's read it together. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, for some of you, that's all you need today. You know, and it'd be a good memory verse for you. Well, here's the problem. When we don't do this, conflict happens. Conflict happens. Welcome home, Emily. Emily's home from college. I see her now. But I had to get that out or that would hurt me later on. But conflict happens. And here's why. Because when conflict happens, it creates distance in our relationships, whether it's marriage, whether it's coworkers, whether it's friends, whether it's people at school. It creates distance. You know, when I say something sarcastic, I'm telling you, sarcasm really don't belong in a marriage, but it creeps in at mine on a more so than that. I was trying to think on a more than a daily basis, and it's not good. And our smart aleck reports, you know, it just doesn't need to be there. And it causes a divide in our relationship. And maybe it's some of you guys too. But the longer that we go without dealing with it, you know, or the greater the hurt was, the greater the distance is going to be. In that relationship, you know, it becomes a deep-rooted anger, which becomes bitterness if it's not handled, not dealt with. Really, to people that we're supposed to love the most. We're supposed to love them the most. I want you to write something down here because it's a lie that we believe. One of the worst lies that we can believe when it comes to family is this. When it comes to family, don't believe the lie that says, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Don't believe that lie. Write in there, I don't care. Conflict comes, when hurt comes. I see this all the time in my office or on the phone when people call me. I see it all the time. I want to tell you guys, when hurt comes, when conflict comes in your family, don't ignore it. Don't tough up and don't just stuff it down. Don't close them out. Don't close the person out. And don't close the door to the relationship and say, I don't care. I don't care. I hear it all the time, guys. Some of you guys have said it. I don't care. 19 years next month, and I've heard so many times people come to see me. I just don't care. I don't care. Because of what they've done. You know, they've been hurt. And I want to tell you today, I'm not trying to minimize your pain. And I'm not trying to minimize your hurt. But I am calling you as your pastor to move past it to something better that Jesus asked all of his followers to do, to get past it. This better way of living, this better way of loving. Amen? Amen. That's what I'm calling you to do when it comes to hurt and when it comes to conflict. I'm telling you, some people tell me, you know, because of what my mom did, I don't care if I ever see her again. Because of what my dad did, I don't care if he ever comes by for Christmas. Because of what my ex did, I don't care if I ever see him again. Because of what my brother did, I don't want nothing to do with him. Because I don't care. I just don't care. I don't care. Y'all heard it too? I don't care. The truth is, even if we stuff it down, even if we ignore it, in your heart, is in the deepest place of honesty, you still care. You still care. And here's why. You were created to care. You were designed by God to care. You care. And here's some reality for you. Relationship bonds with family run deeper. And they're stronger. God created us that way. The family is God's idea. It was meant to give us the support we need to develop and to grow and to become what God has designed us to be. That's what He designed family for, where we can learn our roles and our responsibility so that one day we step out and become another family. We know what it looks like. And that we have a place that we can go back to for this unconditional love and this acceptance. Amen? That's what it's for. And I know some of you are already saying this. Jim, that's why I don't care, because my dad didn't do that. Jim, that's why I don't care, because my mom didn't do that. Jim, that's exactly why I don't care, because my brother took advantage of that. I don't care. But I'm telling you today, I want to move us past the attitude of I don't care. Because Jesus offers us a better way to live. He offers us a better way to love. And if you're at that place of I don't care, here's what I do know. Some of you are saying, I picked a bad weekend to come to church. I know some of you are saying that. I picked a bad day. Let me get some water. Because I know this is bringing up some bad memories. I know it is. It brought up something bad for me when I wrote it. So if I can went through it, you can go through it. I know some of you want to leave. Just don't. Just give me a few more minutes. Just hang in there. You know, because I believe that God's word and His wisdom can bring some hope. Yeah. And if nothing else, I'm going to tell you what else, a couple of things. I'm going to tell you, if you hold on to this I don't care attitude, it's hurting you. It's hurting you. It's actually darkening your soul. It's holding you down. Even if you're not a Jesus follower, it's darkening your soul. And there's a reason you don't want to live that way. There's a reason you really don't want to hold on to that unforgiveness. There's a reason why you don't want to keep that door closed to reconciliation. And it's because it actually hurts you. And I'm going to tell you the second reason. If you're a Jesus follower, God doesn't give you the right to hold a hurt against someone else. He don't give you that right. Not if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have the right to hold a hurt against someone else. And I don't want you to take my word for it. I want to look at a passage of Scripture that tells us that. That's going to push us past this I don't care attitude. Let me get another drink of water. Luke brought in some pizza last night and made me eat it. Got some dry mouth. 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, I like that word, therefore. That means pay attention, goons. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. Woo! If you're new to the Bible and you never heard this, this passage that we just read is a great summary of the gospel. It's the gospel is just this, the good news of Jesus Christ, His story. this passage tells us that God has been pursuing a relationship with humanity that has been separated from him. He's pursued it. And it tells us this, he went first. God made the first move. He went all the way. He went all the way. He made a way through Christ for everyone to be connected. He made a way through Christ that everyone would be reconciled to God. That's what we just read if you're new to the Bible. Now, so if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the reason that we can't keep the door closed to hold our heart and not offer forgiveness is because of these words right here. The reason why we have that, look at the first, underline, for Christ's love compels us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the reason you don't want to hold on to that, you want to offer forgiveness, is because Christ's love compels us. That's the reason that we're open for reconciliation. It's the reason that we give forgiveness in our relationships, is the love of Christ compels us. It urges us to live and to do something better. Jesus always taught that there's a better way of living and that there's a better way of loving that the world teaches. There's a better way. And he says, you can keep living the way the world teaches you, or here's this better way to live and love. And Jesus called that better way of living and loving the kingdom of God. That's what he called it. And so in God's kingdom, love sets the standard. Love sets the standard. So what does God's love look like? Look at verse 18 of that. It starts with, all this is from God. All this is from God. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. This love looks like this. God made the first move. We were guilty. We were the problem. It was our sin. Yet he went first. Do you get it? We were the ones that done it, but he went first. He went all the way. He took all the cost. And he said, everyone is welcome. Everybody is invited to Christianity. That's what sets us apart. Everybody is wanted. But we must choose to walk in. Now, another way of understanding, and I wrote this in a principle, so you might can remember it, or write this down. Through Christ, God removed every obstacle to reconciling with us, except us. He removed everything except us. There's nothing standing between you and God except you. That's all. That's all. You and I, we must choose to receive him, to receive his love, to receive his grace, his forgiveness. We must choose to begin following him. Let me ask you this question. Aren't you glad that God didn't do to us what we do to our family members? Aren't you glad that God didn't do to us what we do to our coworkers? Aren't you glad that God didn't do to us what we've done to our former friends? And just shut the door. And just close the door. When they wrong us, aren't you glad that God didn't do to us what we do to our spouses when they wrong us? I'm glad. I'm glad. What do we do when somebody wrongs us? Guy's been pastor, next month be 19 years. I'm going to tell you what the kind of the average thing that we do. Talking to people, what do we do when someone's wrong us? At best, we meet them halfway. This is the most. At best, we meet them halfway. You know, we do reconciliation like that a lot. And what I mean by that is this. If they will admit they're wrong, I'll admit that I'm wrong. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what most of us do. Just meet halfway. And here's the other thing. They got to go first. Yeah. They got to apologize to me first. And dig this. Then I will judge how sincere their apology is. Yeah. Woo! Y'all know what I'm talking about. Then if I think it's good enough, then I'll admit my wrong in here. But Paul says that ain't what God done. That ain't what happened here. He made the first move. He went all the way. He took all the cost. And if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, the expectation is that I'll give what I received. That's it. That's the gospel. I want to look at this shift in responsibility that happened to me and you right in the middle of this passage. All this is from God, remember, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And what? Gave us. What did he give us? The ministry of reconciliation. That was hard to swallow. He shifted the responsibility to me and you. As followers of Jesus Christ, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now it's my responsibility. I got to live out what I experienced. You got to live out what you experienced. You know what that is? Not counting people's sins against them. Woo! God reconciled us, and he done it by not counting our sins against them. Oh my goodness. Oh. But we like to count people's sins against them. That's why we don't invite them to Christmas no more. Amen. We like to count people's sins against them. That's why I don't go to their house no more for Thanksgiving. We like to count people's sins against them because we can hurt them. We cannot talk to them. We can bring it up. Stab by them. The message of reconciliation. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are expected to do this. Our life is a message that everyone can be reconciled to God. Everyone. Your life is a message. The way that we love other people, the way that we extend forgiveness, should say that we have experienced a radical, reckless love from God. It should say that. A God who pursued us. A God who has forgiven us again and again. And we should extend the same reckless, radical love to the people in our lives. Even when the world says, I understand that you don't forgive him anymore. The world is wrong. This is right. This is a better way of living. This is a better way of loving. You don't have the right to count people's sins against them and to withhold forgiveness. How can we be people who can possibly share a message of hope and reconciliation when we're unwilling to do it ourselves? To give out that same forgiveness, to give out that same reconciliation to other people in our life, especially in our families. The very reason that we can be reconciled to God is because he doesn't hold our sins against us. He doesn't hold our past against us. He doesn't hold our present against us. And he doesn't hold our future. A great way to remember this is I wrote this in a phrase. A key to understanding our reconciliation to God is this. Write this phrase. In spite of. In spite of. You may not understand it now, but hopefully I can articulate this and explain it. But just write, in spite of. Because see, reconciliation is in spite of, not because of. Reconciliation is in spite of and not because of. Because I know, I've talked to you guys long enough that a lot of faces and names are kind of coming to your mind right now. And if I sat down with you kind of knee to knee, and because this has happened to me so many times, And we'd be talking about forgiveness and all this stuff and reconciliation, you'd give me a list of because ofs. I can't do this because of this. Jim, you don't understand. There ain't nothing like this ever happened to you. And I can't do this because of this. Because of this. You'd give me this big list of because of. But I'm going to tell you something. reconciliation is in spite of. In spite of. And that's the way it is between us and other people. Us and God. And it should be the way between us and other people. And God's grace is not because. He didn't give us grace because of we have sinned. He gave us grace in spite of our sins. Y'all get it? You know, and we're forgiven in spite of the fact that we're still going to sin. In spite of that we're going to blow it again. Reconciliation is in spite of, not because of. You know, that's the way God is with us. In spite of our sins. And if we are a Jesus person and we're unwilling to forgive, unwilling to release the hurt. I know that every story is unique. I know some of you are already ready to jump me after church. I know that every story is unique. And I'm not saying go back to that abusive, toxic relationship. But what I am saying is that the love of Christ compels us. It urges us, you know, to do for someone else what he has done for us. Amen? And if we don't, if we hold on to that unforgiveness, you know, here's the unintended message. When we hold on to that hurt or that unforgiveness, the unintended message that we send to people that are around us or that are watching our life or other family members or our kids, or people at school, is this. Here's the unintended message. You can be reconciled to God in spite of your sins, but you can't be reconciled to me because of your sins. You get it? When you hold those hurts or when you're unforgiving, let me say that again, because a bunch of you just look like a deer in the headlights. You can be reconciled to God in spite of your sins, but you cannot be reconciled to me because of your sins. Here it is in five words. God will, but I won't. God will, but I won't. Here's a real good one. When you won't release your hurts, my standards are higher than God's. That's what you're telling somebody. That sounds ridiculous, don't it? You know why? Because it is. Your standards are not higher than God's, but you're telling folks that when you hold their hurts over them. When you count their sins. Ooh, don't do it. That's an unintended message. It sounds ridiculous. But every time we choose unforgiveness, that's what we're saying. Guys, forgiveness that we receive from God will be forever linked to the forgiveness that we extend to other people. It will be forever forgiven. They go hand in hand. And saying all that, I want to tell you, God is aware. He's not unaware of your pain. He knows your pain. He wants to heal you. I want to tell you, you did not deserve that pain. But here's the good news. For somebody who's been through it, he will set you free. He will set you free. But that's why you extend that forgiveness, because it will change you. It'll change you. It may not work for them. But you extend that forgiveness, it may not work for them, but it'll sure do you some good. It'll set you free. At the very least, you'll be walking in obedience. At the very least. Look at verse last one. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Guys, you are an ambassador for Christ. If you're a Jesus follower, you're an ambassador for Christ. The world is going to know God's love through us. Through us. It's going to know forgiveness. I'm going to wind it up real quick. I know y'all are tired of hearing. But I want to ask you a pointed question. Who is it in your family? Who is it in your circle of friends? Who is it in your co-workers that you need to offer forgiveness? That you need to forgive. It might be even a grandparent that you need to send a picture of your kids to. Some simple act of that. You've been mad at your mom all these years. They haven't seen the kids in years. Some of you, that's foreign to you, but I see it sometimes in my office. Withholding the grandchildren from the grandparents. Send them a picture. Just send them a picture. If you've got that name, I'd like for you to do something about it today. I think you'll experience some freedom that you'll never realize. Just extend it. Be an ambassador for Christ. Stop withholding folks' sins. Holding folks to your standards. Fill in this last thing and then I'll pray. Y'all come on up, musicians. Everyday heroes forgive as they've been forgiven. Everyday heroes forgive as they've been forgiven. Especially in our families. Especially in our families. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know this is a lot easier preached than it is done. I know it is. So I thank you, Lord, that you compelled me that I would mend one of my relationships. And I feel pretty darn good about it. I'm free from that. And I thank you, Lord, that it compelled me to do so. And I thank you, Lord, that others will see that. So, Lord, I now pray for the folks that heard what you had to say through me today. I pray that they might send that picture of that child or invite that brother over. Or maybe just stop in and see it. And I pray that everything go well. We at North Point would be good ambassadors for you because you sure have been good to us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.